We're going to continue today the study called Maturing into Adulthood. And the last time I was here, we spoke about how our relationship with God is based on trust and faith. Our relationship with God is based on trust and faith. And before you can build your relationship with God by faith, you have first got to believe that God exists. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let me say it again. Before you can build and develop your relationship with the Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, by faith, you have first got to believe that he exists. You know, it's hard to believe in one we can't physically see with our eyes, but that's where faith comes in. I'm just kind of recapping the last message. Say it again. It's hard to believe in one that we cannot see with our eyes physically, but that's where faith comes in. And the illustration we used was this, is the wind. You know, on a fall day, you can't see the wind with your bare eyes, right? You can't see the wind. It's invisible, right? But you can see the effects of the wind. On a fall day, you can see the leaves rustling. You can see the trees swaying back and forth, right? You can see the effects of wind, and because you see the effects, you know that the cause is what? The cause is wind. And it's the same way with God. Don't let anybody or anything tell you that God does not exist. God is alive and well, and he is sustaining each and every single one of us right now. With God, you look at all the effects in this world. You look at the beauty of nature, the trees and the grass and the beautiful blue sky. You look at the complexity of the human body. And by looking at these effects, you've got to know that there is a cause, and that cause is God. You look at creation, and you've got to know that there is a creator, and he is God. All right? God exists. He is alive. And while I'm believing in God's existence, is the first step in growing in your relationship with him. Now, faith. We talked about faith. What is faith in God? It's trust. It's knowing that you know deep down on the inside of you that God is going to do the good thing for you that he promised you, personally or through the word. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God is going to do for you the good thing he promised for you, personally or through his written word. We talked about how we develop our faith in God. How do you develop and grow your faith in God? How does your faith in God become firmer and stronger as the days and the weeks and the months pass? How do you develop your faith in God? Number one, by realizing your every breath has been given to you by God. Number two, realizing that God is good, that he is the author of good, and that every good thing that has happened in your life has been given to you by God. I mean, who wouldn't want a relationship with a God that is good, that does good, has done good in your life, giving you breath, giving you a beating heart? You got to realize that God is good, and then you got to realize this as well, that the good that God did for you in the past, he is able to do for you again today. All right? The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's found in Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is always the same. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. That means that God is always the same. Think back a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, of a miracle that God has done in your life. And when you think back to that miracle, maybe it was $50 you needed for a week's worth of groceries, and that $50 was provided. Remember this, that provision came from God. God is the one who brought about that miracle in your life. Maybe it was a year ago or 5 years ago that you were believing for a reconciled relationship and God reconciled it for you. Well, the God who did it for you back then is the same God who can do the miracle for you today that you are needing. You've got to remember the good God did for you in the past and realize this, that if he did it for you in the past and he never changes, he will do it again for you today. Is that making sense? That you may have faced that need of $100 in the past, and maybe today you're facing the need for $500. Well, the God who provided you $100 back then can provide you the $500 today. All right? You may have needed, I don't know what it is, maybe a bike sometime in the past for transportation, and God provided it for you supernaturally. Well, guess what? That same God can provide you with the car you're believing for today. He never changes. Remember the good God did for you, and He can do it again. Is that making sense? And then you've also built your faith and develop your faith by getting into the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God through reading the Word of God. Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you get into the Word of God, you build your faith in God, because the books that we read influence the way that we think. Do you know the newspapers and the magazines and the books that you read develop the way you think? Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Bible, God's Word? Look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about the miracles that Jesus did. And as you read this Bible, as you read the Gospels, and you think about what you read, it develops your faith in God, that the God who healed back in the New Testament when Jesus walked this earth is the same God that can heal you today, because He is no respecter of persons. Is that good news? All right, today I want to talk about qualities that God is looking for in our faith. The qualities God is looking for in our faith in Him. Anybody have any ideas of what God is looking for in the faith that we claim to have in Him? Number one, a childlike faith. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Nowadays, people think in the world, non-Christians, think that the greatest are those who have the most money or the most influence. And so the disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And how did Jesus reply? He pulled a little child, verse 2, and had him stand among them. He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What do children have that a lot of adults don't have? They've got this doubtlessness about them. This blind faith, if you would. They just believe. Like if a child, 3 or 4 years old, a little girl, little boy, has a daddy that they know really loves them and is good to them, they have that blind faith and trust in that daddy. The little girl, 3 years old. She loves her daddy. She knows that her daddy loves her. He comes knocking at the door at night after work. She runs to the door, opens the door, and runs into his arms. She's got full faith and trust in daddy. She knows that daddy is good, that he provides her shelter, her bed, her food, the roof over her head, so forth and so on. And so she's got this trust and this faith in her daddy. She does not doubt her daddy's goodness for even a moment. Well, guess what, guys? That's the same faith that God is looking for in you and in me. Is that childlike, doubtless faith. A faith that does not doubt His goodness or His power for even, not a second, but a millisecond. Let me say it again. God is looking for a faith that does not doubt His goodness or power for even a millisecond. That's a doubtless, childlike faith. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus walked and did good and healed people, there were people that had this childlike faith. Matthew chapter 9. I like going through this account, but it's good. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus asked the blind men what? basically, do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight? And their response was a confident what? Was a confident yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. We believe that you're able to restore our sight. These two blind men had what? They had a doubtless, childlike faith. It wasn't like, yes, Lord, but if and so forth and so on. There was no doubt in their minds, in their hearts, that Jesus would heal them. We just know that we know, Jesus, that you're able to restore our sight. They didn't doubt the goodness or the power of God for even a millisecond. And because of that, God honored their faith. And Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. So the other point is this, is that God honors faith. If it's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6, to me that's saying that with faith, it's possible to do what? It's possible to please God. God honors faith in Him. So the first quality God is looking for in our faith is what? Is that it has a what kind of quality? A childlike quality. Let's see if we have enough time here to go through this other account. Yes, Mark chapter 5. Verses 25 through 34. The woman who bled. Mark 5:25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered so much under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. The key is this, Mark 5:28. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She had a doubtless childlike faith. She knew if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. It doesn't say that if I just touch his clothes, I might be healed or I could be healed. This woman said, if I touch his clothing, I will be healed. She had a doubtless, childlike faith. And God honored that faith. And Jesus, after she touched him, touched his garment, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. And the disciples were like, Jesus, what do you mean power went out of you? What do you mean, Jesus, who touched you? People are bumping into you all around you. And Jesus was like, no, this was a different type of touch. Because when that woman touched him, he felt power, healing power, go out of him, and she was healed. That's the touch God is looking for from us. He's looking for the touch of faith, the touch of doubtless, childlike faith. Not, I know God can do it, but, and I know God can do this for me. He could do it, but, so forth and so on. No ifs, ands, and buts with God. It's got to be a doubtless faith that does not doubt the power of God for even the smallest moment in time. And then the second quality that God is looking for in our faith is what? First quality is what? It's got to be what? Childlike, doubtless. The second one is what? This is a big one. It's important. It's got to be what? It's got to be a persevering, non-quitting faith. A lot of people start something and they never finish. They quit. And they never receive the good thing, the prize, because they quit, they give up, they don't persevere. But if we're going to receive what God has for us, if you're going to receive the miracle God has for you, you've got to have what kind of faith? A persevering, non-quitting faith. Now, you've heard this before, but it bears repeating. In the Old Testament, a great man of faith was whom? Patriarch of our faith. Abraham in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to multiply you. Your offspring is going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. I'm going to make you into a great nation, Abraham. How old was Abraham when God made him that promise to make him great? 75. Guess how old Abraham was when the promised son, Isaac, was born to him through whom the great nation would come? 100. So if you take 100 minus 75, you come up with what number? 25 years. Abraham was 75 years old when God made the promise. 25 years later, the beginning of that promise was coming to pass through Isaac, through the birth of Isaac. He waited 25 years for the promised son, Isaac, through whom the great nation would come. And he did not give up. He persevered. He didn't quit. And friends, it's got to be the same with you and with me. So maybe God has promised you a good thing in your life. More finances. A better job. Better transportation. Reconciliation of that broken relationship in a family. Whatever it might be, maybe that you would come out of depression and experience the joy of the Lord. And maybe God made this promise to you. Maybe it's overcoming an addiction. Whatever it is, it's between you and God. And so you've been waiting a week or a month, or maybe a year. You're like, God, it seems that nothing's happened. I haven't received this major financial miracle. Maybe you believe 5 years. God, I still haven't received this better car. God, I still haven't gotten an apartment. God, I still get depressed. God, this relationship is still broken in my life. And you've believed 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and it hasn't happened. Are you going to give up just because you don't see it in 5 years? Abraham was a man just like you and me. If he was able to wait for God 25 years in faith, so can we. When the going gets tough in your life, in believing God, the tough in God by faith get going. Plain and simple. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. He writes about Abraham. And this is what he says. Romans chapter 4. He says that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, here's the key. Within 25 years, he didn't weaken in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20 of Romans 4. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Let me ask you this today. Are you fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised in your life? Even though it seems like a really long time, are you going to weaken in your faith? Or are you going to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised you he is going to do with your life? Friend, let me tell you something. The world has it this way, says it this way. That good things come to those who wait. Good things come to those who wait. When people begin businesses, companies, they're not immediately successful. Within a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. It takes years of waiting and working on that business before it really becomes successful and self-sustaining. It's got to be the same with us in our walk with God. You may not receive immediately the miracle, the good thing that's been promised to you. But if you can wait it out, if you can be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised you, guess what? You will receive that breakthrough in your life. You might be wondering today, Jonathan, sometimes I get weak in my faith. When you get weak in your faith and you feel like quitting up and throwing in the towel and just walking the other way, just cry out to God and say, God, I am weak in my own human natural self. God, I can't do this alone. God, I need your strength. And I guarantee you that God will give you his supernatural divine empowerment to press on. Plain and simple. And not only that, another thing that will help you hold on to the promise of God in faith is what? is what? Is looking at the prize, towards the prize, at the end of the race. Looking toward the prize at the end of the race. And that's the way a lot of runners do it, be it 3 miles, a 5K, a marathon, a half marathon. They're constantly concentrating and focusing on the finish line. And if you can concentrate and focus on the finish line, on the prize, guess what? It'll give you that strength, that motivation to keep believing God for that good thing. And if you can keep on keeping on, if you can persevere and not quit, you will receive that good thing in your life. But you got to keep your eyes, say it with me, on the prize. In Jesus' name, amen.